This is your Calls One Planet series. I'm Rose Aguilar. Now we are going to discuss a powerful investigation by Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Robert Lopez about California's child farm workers. He found that California officials are failing to protect the health and safety of thousands of underage farm workers who labor in very harsh and dangerous conditions. These children and teenagers work in California fields to provide Americans with fresh fruits and vegetables. While children as young as 12 can legally work in agriculture, many describe being exposed to toxic pesticides, dangerous heat, and other hazards. In many cases, employers fail to provide shade and clean drinking water. About 20 of the young people interviewed said that in some instances, they are laboring up to 10 hours a day when they were 12 and 13 years old. These young workers help power California's annual $60 billion agricultural industry, the most productive in the nation and one of the biggest in the world. Robert Lopez's investigation is based on interviews with more than 100 underage adult farm workers, experts, labor and agricultural industry advocates, and state and local officials. Robert Lopez also reviewed tens of thousands of records, most coming from 24 public records requests. The young farm workers interviewed are from families with mixed immigration status. Robert Lopez's investigation was published by Capital in Maine and was produced in partnership with the Los Angeles Times and the McGraw Center for Business Journalism. Robert Lopez is an independent journalist based in Los Angeles. He and several LA Times colleagues were Pulitzer Prize finalists in 2023 for investigations detailing corruption, criminality, and worker exploitation in California's legal cannabis industry. Hi, Robert. Thank you so much for your reporting, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, you have really incredible photos in your piece, and these photos were taken by Barbara Davidson. I mean, they're really incredible. These kids' faces are covered by bandanas. You can see their eyes. And most of these kids said they started working in the fields when they were 11. How is this even legal that 11-year-olds are doing backbreaking work in California's farms?
Well, first of all, yes, the photos were extremely powerful. Barbara decided to take these portraits of the young workers in the actual clothes in which they work. And all workers, they often wear bandanas, baseball caps, hoodies, to protect themselves from the elements. So in some cases, some of these young people actually showed up for the photo sessions right from working in the fields. And there was a couple of photos where you see their hands where they're just all dirty. That's because, you know, they didn't have a chance to clean up. They just came and got their photos taken. So yes, they were very powerful. In response to your question, well, it's not really legal for 11-year-old children to work in agriculture in California, but it is legal for children as young as 12 to work up to 40 hours a week when school's not in session in the fields and orchards across the state. Most jobs, California requires minors to be 14 years old, but not in agriculture. And the reason that 11-year-olds and even those younger can work is because a lot of employers don't check for identification, look the other way, don't ask about a person's age, even though every minor in California is supposed to have a work permit in order to work. But as we found out, that doesn't always happen.
You spoke with 61 young field workers from 12 years old to those who had recently turned 18. Many say that they've had headaches, skin rashes, or burning eyes while working in the fields that smelled of chemicals. Others said they were hired for piece rate jobs that paid less than minimum wage. They say that they've struggled in the summer sun without shade or extra water breaks. Some said that the toilets are so filthy, no soap to wash their hands. I just have to ask this again, Robert. How is this happening in California? How is this legal in 2025?
Well, everything you just described is not legal under state law. For example, when temperatures exceed 80 degrees outdoor, which is much of the summer in many of these places, employers are supposed to provide shade for workers during breaks. They're supposed to provide cool, fresh water and ample water breaks. They're supposed to provide safety training about the dangers of extreme heat and how to cope with it, how to keep the body hydrated, how to take breaks when you need to rest. There are requirements that provide for sanitary bathroom facilities. Porta potties have to be clean. There has to be sh soap for a worker to wash their hands. Wages that pay piece rate. And by that, I mean workers who are paid by the unit. You're paid 240, for example, for every box of strawberries you fill. You're paid a certain amount for every crate of lemons or oranges you pick. That's piece rate. You're paid by the unit. Under state law, at the end of that working day, whatever you're paid, that piece rate has to at least be equivalent to the minimum wage. So if you work 10 hours, the minimum wage is 16.50 an hour. It's 16.50 times 10. That's what you're supposed to be paid. But what I heard in many of these interviews, from the very first interviews on, is that, a lot of these young people are not as strong and not as fast as adults. So at the end of the workday, whatever that might be, 5 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours, or even more, sometimes they wouldn't earn the equivalent of minimum wage simply because they were not strong enough to fill these boxes to a sufficient level that would allow them to reach that minimum wage. And none of this, as I said, is legal. The issue is there's not a lot of enforcement. We found that over an 8-year period, according to state records, there were only 27 citations issued for child labor violations across all of California. And mind you, there's thousands of agricultural employers. We found that the state fined these employers in those 27 instances about $34,000. 92% of that was never collected. The co state collected less than $3,000. We found that 2,600 complaints against employers for alleged violations of California's outdoor heat law, which, as I said, requires shade, water, breaks, were never investigated. Thousands of injury reports from heat illness outdoors in agriculture were never investigated. Cal-OSHA fined employers $32 million in recent years for violations of all types. Less than half of that was collected. So there's simply just not much of a presence out there in terms of the enforcement agencies that are supposed to be protecting young workers and workers in general.
And I'm guessing a lot of our listeners don't know about the Department of Industrial Relations. You report that the primary agency in California for regulating child labor and workplace safety laws is the State Department of Industrial Relations. You interviewed Jack Kearns, a policy advocate with the UCLA Labor Center, who has researched child labor abuse. He said these enforcement agencies have no teeth at all. They are just understaffed and they don't have the capacity. You report in California's top producing agricultural regions in 2023, county regulators performed inspections in less than 1% of the more than 687,000 instances in which fields and orchards were sprayed with pesticides, some known to cause cancer, according to records. Robert, were you able to interview any state politician? And I have to say, whenever investigations like this come out, I think about Governor Gavin Newsom because he's out there doing national interviews, slamming Trump. He's getting so much media attention. And yet these national reporters rarely, if ever, ask him about what's happening in California. Have you been able to interview any politicians about this?
Yes, I have. I actually wrote a follow-up report that was published last week. It was actually last Friday. It was published both in Capital in Maine and the Los Angeles Times. And in that, I went to the governor's office and asked them basically if they were satisfied with some of the findings that I reported. And what the state is now going to do, they announced plans to coordinate enforcement efforts between Cal OSHA and the Bureau of Field Enforcement, which regulates child labor and wage and hours laws, a very important unit. These two agencies typically work separate and apart from one another and enforce different laws. They're going to join together to increase the presence of inspectors and investigators out in the fields and identify more violators. They are also going to start sharing data between the enforcement teams at various state agencies. And so this is all basically coming under the administration of Governor Newsom. And these are agencies that report up to the governor's office through their leadership. And so their response was that they are going to enact some reforms and improve coordination and data sharing to try and protect these young agricultural workers. In addition, I interviewed a couple of assembly members who said that the state should really focus on one tool that they feel is important, and that's educational materials that are specifically geared towards young workers. Very simple, very easy to understand flyers that would explain to them their rights when it comes to pesticide laws, which are very complex, and also how to report problems if those do arise in the fields. So those are two things that have been done in response to the articles I wrote.
We're speaking with Robert Lopez, an independent journalist based in Los Angeles. We're talking about his investigations published by Capital in Maine, produced in partnership with the LA Times and the McGraw Center for Business Journalism. California's child farm workers, exhausted, underpaid, and toiling in toxic fields. His latest, to protect underage farm workers, California expands oversight of field production. And then another one, to protect underage farm workers, he also writes about the pesticides. Lax oversight, few inspections leave child farm workers exposed to toxic pesticides. And to really elevate the voices of these children, I just want to read from some of the captions under the incredible photos taken by Barbara Davidson. Jose, seen at 13, picks strawberries in the Salinas Valley. He started working in the fields when he was 11 years old and has injured his ankles and knees after falling down at work. He says he has been paid piece rate wages for less than minimum wage. He's worked in fields on hot summer days when employers fail to provide shade. He also described working in a field where a strong smell of chemicals gave him a headache. I mean, these are just really amazing stories and photographs. Raquel, seen at 18, she's wearing a burgundy sweatshirt. She's got a blue bandana covering her nose and her mouth. She picks strawberries in the Salinas Valley. Raquel started working in the fields when she was 11 to help her immigrant parents. She graduated from high school with a 4.0 grade point average and attends college. She dreams of becoming a nurse and using her Spanish and Mixteco language skills to help her community. She described entering a field where a tractor had sprayed chemicals that made her feel dizzy. She also says she's worked piece rate jobs that paid less than minimum wage and labored in fields where employers fail to provide shade on hot days. Robert, over and over again, these young people say that they felt dizzy, they had headaches, they did not have access to shade, and they're doing this backbreaking work, and so many of them had very high grade point averages, and they were able to go on to college.
Yes, there's several who are actually attending universities in California as we speak.
Wow.
These young people were very smart, they were very articulate, and, you know, once I was able to sort of gain their trust and show them that, you know, I understood what it was they were going through and what it was their families were enduring, you know, they wanted to share their stories because they really wanted people to know how fresh fruit, how fresh vegetables arrives at their tables. And time and again, from the very first interviews in late 2023, all the way through, you know, I heard some very similar stories involving, you know, fields that young people said reeked of chemicals, working for jobs that didn't pay the minimum wage, and a lot of stories about just no shade out there on hot days and no extra water breaks. One young girl who just graduated with a 3.9 GPA and is now at a university interested in science, she described working in a broccoli field, and she felt something dripping from her nose. She looked down on the long sleeves of her shirt and saw blood dripping. She ran to a bathroom, a porta potty, to grab a bunch of paper towels to stop the bleeding, and then hustled back as fast as she could, because as she told me, she was afraid of angering her bosses. I mean, her exact words were, "You don't stop. It's strongly discouraged." And not only she told me this tale, but her mother also backed her up. Her mother was with her picking in the fields that day. So yeah, there's a lot of bright kids. They would rather not be doing this. Their parents would rather not have them do this, but this is happening because families are struggling. This is really at its core a story about poverty, and a story about poverty involving some of California's most vulnerable families. What people don't understand, I think, in general, is that farm working is not a 40-hour work a week job. It's a job that's highly dependent on all these variables. The weather, if it rains, fields get flooded. If there's a freeze, crops die on the vine. If there's a lot of workers who show up at the field, there may not be as much work. It's just so dependent on so many things. It's seasonal. And right now during the holidays, this is one of the worst times for farm workers because, you know, crops have been picked. We're in between the season and they're struggling. So when many of us are enjoying the holidays, many of them are barely surviving. Mm. So that's sort of the reality that I encountered and the reality that I came to understand as I dug deeper into this story.
You also write that most of the young workers you interviewed said they typically work 6 days a week in the summer, and when school is in session, they work on the weekends. And yet you interviewed Brian Little of the California Farm Bureau, who represents thousands of agricultural businesses. And he said that he's visited many farms and said, quote, "I don't ever recall seeing anybody working in a farm field who appeared to be under the age of 18. I mean, it's really hard to tell how old people are when their face is covered.
That's a very good point. I visited many fields myself, and, you know, the faces are covered. You know, they're wearing hoodies and caps on top of that. So you're really only seeing a person's eyes. And, you know, a person may be small, but that doesn't necessarily reflect age. So, yes, it is very difficult to ascertain that through just sort of visual, you know, sightings. You really have to sort of go out and talk to people, you know, and dig a little deeper. And that's what I did. And, you know, I really appreciate the Farm Bureau providing its perspective, just as I appreciate everyone else who spoke with me. And in the end, I would say my reporting speaks for itself.
Well, right. And my point was, how does he know that there's no one under the age of 18? Because it's hard to tell when a face is covered. But now that these photos and these incredible stories have come out, have you heard anything else from the Farm Bureau?
I have not.
Is it possible, Robert, to name any of these companies? I just think about California. It sells itself as this, you know, farm-to-table state. We're known for our incredible farmers markets. People love to shop at local and to buy organic fruits and vegetables. Is this happening on organic farms? And is there any way of knowing whether the fruits and the veggies we buy have been picked by young people?
Well, it's happening at a range of businesses. We didn't name any of the ones where the kids were working at or their families, because many of them are still there. And we did not want to take any actions that would endanger them, would expose them to retaliation, would expose them to scrutiny by immigration authorities, because many of these are mixed status families. And by that, I mean, most of the children I spoke to were born here, but parents are undocumented, older siblings may be undocumented. So there were those issues.
Right.
So the primary goal all along, in addition to, of course, telling a story, was protecting these young people and their families. You know, I made a promise to them, and Barbara did as well, that we wouldn't do anything, you know, that got them, you know, in trouble or jeopardized their livelihoods. Because if they lose their jobs, I mean, that's really a bad situation, and I would not want to be responsible for that. So we were very circumspect in the way we reported this. But I can tell you that the companies range from larger ones to a lot of farm labor contractors. So it's across the spectrum. And I can say that I did not come across any organic farms that I was aware of that were organic. So that doesn't mean that isn't happening there, but that didn't come across my radar. So that was sort of the perspective we took when we did our reporting.
And to your point, Brian said many of us live with the fear that ICE or Border Patrol will detain a family member and we will lose everything. So there's just so much at stake for these families.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is a young man who, you know, has a brutal job. Mm. It's, you know, working in the orchards, picking citrus fruit in the San Joaquin Valley. And, you know, they live in a tiny, faded mobile home in the middle of orchards. You know, he works with his 16-year-old cousin and 13-year-old brother and their father. And, you know, they go out in the summer and look for work. And if they're lucky, they have work lined up for a few days. And if they don't, they just have to go and see if they can get hired. And, you know, the dad wants the kids to have a career. He doesn't want them to work in the fields like him. And I truly believe that. But what, you know, he did say is, you know, right now I need their help to get by because, you know, when work is plentiful, they can bring in an extra $300 to $500 a week. And, you know, that's a lot of money, especially when a big chunk of that $1,200 is going toward, you know, the monthly rent plus gas plus water and then food. So there's not a lot left over at the end of the month.
And immigration authorities have been raiding fields and neighborhoods, and he said that the family doesn't go out as much before, and they're always watching over their shoulders when they're on the streets.
Yeah, there's a lot of stress among the immigrant communities across California and the nation, for that matter. And, you know, people have altered their lifestyles. They've, you know, changed their, you know, habits outdoors because, you know, they're looking over their shoulders. And so this is something that is a theme, not just in agriculture and among the families that I interviewed, but we're seeing that being reported by other organizations, you know, across the United States.
In our remaining minute, Robert, what's next for your reporting now that state agencies said that they're going to join forces to crack down on these child labor violations?
Well, I actually have one, if not a couple, follow-up stories that I want to do, and I'm working on those now. I was only able to sort of use a few of the pesticide records, 50,000 plus records that we analyzed. And so there's some more pesticide reporting that needs to be done, and I'm planning to do that. Mm-hmm. And I also want to look at some equity issues involving housing and health issues involving farm worker communities in general. So that's where I'm headed next.
Robert Lopez is an independent journalist based in Los Angeles. His investigations were published by Capital and Maine and produced in partnership with the Los Angeles Times and the McGraw Center for Business Journalism. I hope you can spend some time with the pieces that Robert wrote. Check out the beautiful photographs that were taken by Barbara Davidson, graphics by Lorena Ineguez Ellaby. You can find these pieces at klw.org, click news, and your call. Robert, huge thanks to you and your colleagues for this important reporting, and we'd love to have you back for a longer conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, and have a nice day.
Thank you so much. You too. Thanks to Malihe Razazan for producing today's show. Thanks to Kevin Vance for engineering our show. And thank you so much for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.